You're listening to Evolver Planet Radio. Evolver Planet. That was a track. That's actually the track we've been listening to the whole night from DJ Michael Scalar, who's joining us on the show tonight. And today is 11-11-11. We have an awesome show lined up for you tonight. And I'm your host, Jonah Bolt, and joining us is Wendy. Wendy, how you doing?
Hey, Jonah, what's up? How are you doing on this awesome 11-11?
It's been quite an amazing day so far. And just want to remind everyone, Evolver Planet Radio is brought to you in part by Gelixile.com, the new interactive flower of life board game. You should check out the website, Gelixile.com. And joining us first on the show tonight, the music artist, none other than Michael Scalar out of South Florida or Florida. And Michael, are you on the air?
Yeah, what's up, brother?
Awesome. How you doing, Starbro? How's this 11-11 treating you?
It's been good. It's been going since like 1 a.m. last night, so go strong.
Nice. That's what's up. Thank you so much for joining us on the show. And love your energy work and what you do with your music, and that's one of the main reasons why I wanted you on the show tonight, because of the intent of the music you put out. And your music is so profound and powerful that everyone I turn on to that hears it loves it. And I'm sure you get the same reaction out there DJing. And first, tell us about the Scalar sounds and what you do with your music, how you make it so healing.
The healing really occurs within people. I'm just creating like, a space of oneness for people to connect with themselves and everyone around them, which is really what EDM was all about. But I take it a little further than some might with just doing what I call mental mechanics or energy work with the music or visualization techniques and moving energy to the crowd, through the speakers, through the mixer, and all that fun stuff.
And now you've also put together this new Scalar system, and tell us a little bit about that, what exactly that does, the enhancement system.
Oh yeah, well the EE system is the bioscalar energy medicine technology, and that's definitely utilized within the music when applicable. I actually just went down to South Beach a couple days ago and looking for a venue to do a winter music conference party, and actually today I was working on these, they're like large kiosks that'll house the technology and run the music version of the technology, which is just catered more towards creating an atmosphere for a party versus creating a like a detox or healing effect that the EE system is for. So I'm really excited about WMC this year. I'm writing a business plan as we speak, and it should be really fun. Hopefully you'll come down this year as well.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite things.
You have these awesome euphoric experiences for people where they come in and it's all about raising the biofield and awareness and consciousness. So what got you into actually DJing Scalar Sound?
Well, I started as a DJ when I was 16. I was always very creative with art and just like found music by chance, probably a calling of some sort, and got into that and pretty much dropped like visual art altogether for the most part, and just went into sound, and I just love the way it felt and way it made other people feel, like people to realize there's so much energy in music in the way that affects you, like on a day-to-day you can be having a bad day and you listen to music and all of a sudden, oh my god, you know, the day has turned great, you show up at a party and there's good music and you know you don't need drugs or anything, you just, oh, it's beautiful. With the energy stuff, my mom's been a healer for over 30 years, and she developed the EE system, so that brought me into that. And yeah, it just keeps going.
Wow.
So do you think it's the pulse and the vibration and just like, you know, the whole, the crowd and the energy and everything that you're trying to manifest with intent as well, like bringing that vibration and that energy into the crowd where they're dancing and they're really, you know, vibing and connecting to sound, because sound is definitely deeper than just hearing, it's listening, you know, and so that's the sense that I get that you create with sound. That's what it inspires.
Yeah, totally.
DJ, right?
Yeah, that's essentially it.
And Michael, tell us about some of the upcoming gigs you got.
I'm trying to focus more on music production. It's becoming harder and harder to just be a DJ. So I've got a bunch of tracks. You've heard a couple of the ones. Those aren't even really amazing by standards. They're the ones that I'm about to throw out of the studio. But I am playing at a gig in Central Florida this coming weekend, and then after that I'm putting all my focus behind actually rallying the winter music party that I've just kind of committed myself to do over the last week.
Nice. And what's your website where people could check out and get some more information on you?
MichaelScalar.com. So Scalar spelled S-C-A-L-A-R. So MichaelScalar.com. You can find me on Facebook or SoundCloud as well.
That's what's up. And Wendy, anything for Scalar before we let him go on this 11-11?
Yeah, definitely, man. I have to ask you, like, what was your favorite experience playing as, you know, your Scalar performances?
Oh, wow, there's so many. Like,
favorite
really amazing. Well, probably like one of my first big gigs was playing with Deep Dish at Sundance, and we actually had the system set up there as well. And you know, it was for a really large crowd, and obviously with Deep Dish, we don't even play together anymore now. It was a pretty magical night. I would say that was probably my top gig.
Awesome.
Nice, that's what's up.
You work in conjunction
Michael
with
Michael Scala, thank you so much for joining us.
Visual artist as well?
Sometimes. The system itself is actually a bit of a visual artist. If you find it and look it up at eesystem.com, use that as a thing. Some people kind of think it looks like a laser when it's going through a projector, and it really does. I actually had a VJ in San Francisco at the Sound Healing Conference ask where I got the lasers. I'm like, no, it's not a laser. It's a computer. A projector.
Awesome.
Nice. And we'll be playing your music throughout the whole Evolve cast.
Right on.
That's what's up. Thanks for joining us on the show, Michael. And we'll have you back on again sometime soon for sure.
All right,
thank you,
good,
Michael.
Man.
I have enjoyed your music for real. So it was awesome having you as a guest tonight. Thank you.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
For sure. And for all the listeners, check out Scalar's music. It is just, it's amazing vibration and amazing energy. So check out his Facebook, scalar-e.com or michaelscalar.com. And with that, we're going to listen to a little more Scalar. And then joining us is Julian and our very special guest, Andrew, the director of Electronic Awakening. Joining us on the show is Julian Reyes and Andrew Joyner. the director of the new film and documentary Electronic Awakening. Are you guys both on the show? Can you hear me?
Yep, we're here.
Yep, this is Drew in right here.
Awesome.
Hey guys, welcome.
And, that is Wendy Owens. Live in a
hey guys,
hello.
Go ahead. Hey, tonight.
Very good. We're having a great time. We're happy to be here. Thank you very much for inviting us.
Absolutely. Glad to have you guys on board for 11-11. And Wendy, go ahead and you start off with Andrew and his film. We were just talking about it off the air, what an amazing thing it is.
Oh, guys, yeah. First and foremost, I have to say, just being a first-generation party kid, just knowing this vibration and this energy and just, you know, knowing that so many people are connecting on this level with dance culture and also the spiritual awakening and consciousness is happening, you know, on the dance floors and in people's hearts. And it probably has to do with the vibrational tonality and the energy and the visuals and the synergy and, you know, just that whole connectivity. And so you guys actually did this film based on the spiritual technology that allows the access to the higher states of consciousness. So you filmed this over 5 years, and you guys went out to several festivals and events to do this. What was the experience? And really, you know, how was this? I'm sure it was definitely an awareness of what was happening. But when this started really, you know, happening where it was more visible and more of an experience where people were able to connect on the dance floors of spirituality and coming together in unison and community, which is all what we've manifested with this tribal symbolic, if you will, culture. And so tell me a little bit about how you guys, you know, did this and what inspired you and how you just started doing the documentary.
Well, I'll start out. I don't know where are you located at, Wendy, in the country.
I am in Asheville, North Carolina.
Okay, and I think that's where is that where you are, Jonah?
Yeah, that's it. City of Light, baby.
Well, believe it or not, about 2 hours north of you guys. You guys know Boone, North Carolina.
Straight up, yeah. I've been there several times. Awesome dance parties there, especially in the woods.
Well, that's where I went to college at, actually.
Oh, wow.
And that's where this project, believe it or not, that's where this whole film project began. It was my thesis to finish my degree in anthropology. At the time, I had never been to any parties before. I didn't know a thing about dance culture. I had no idea that there was even a scene going on in Nashville or even around there where I was at Appalachian State University. There wasn't anything going on to my knowledge, remotely close. Oh, go ahead.
We did all kinds of events, man. We actually touched samadhi. I don't know if you've heard of the Equinox parties or the Touch Samadhi parties and, you know, even having parties at Deerfields. And there's been, man, Asheville really knows how to get down. And, you know, there's a party going on right now and people are getting down and it's cold and people are freezing out there on the dance floor, but they're definitely getting down. So, you know, Asheville definitely has that energy. But, yeah, Boone was synonymous for doing some amazing parties. So, wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, I was so excited I got my initial grant money came from, you know, it was Appalachian State University that funded this project from at the very beginning.
Wow.
And, they paid for me to, they helped me get out to the West Coast to, to go to my first series of events and conduct my first few months of field research. They bought my ticket to Burning Man the first time. Exactly. So, but it was really amazing to get back to North Carolina after I'd had this, you know, complete immersion into this culture, and of course, you know, for me, having never been to any parties before, not knowing anything, but from what I had learned from my preliminary research in the library, of reading about these parties, you know, having that full-blown cultural immersion into what's going on and, you know, and into the spirituality of the scene, and then coming back to, you know, to my university in North Carolina and discovering that that it had been there the whole time, that I just didn't know, you know, where to find it. You know, it was complete an awakening to a whole world that I, you know, had no idea, and that most people don't realize, you know, it exists in, you know, every town and every city, you know, across this country. You'll find some, you know, some little facet or some little group or some little niche of this collective mass of this scene and this movement, which is something that, you know, really amazed me, to discover this, and that they all, and not only that, but that they all share this, you know, this connectivity of what they get on the dance floor transcendence and the experience they've had, had together at these events of oneness. And so it's been really amazing to have that discovery for myself and to be able to express that, through this film and through this book.
Well, I have to ask you guys, for real, like, you know, there's so many different genres of electronic music, and I'm an electronic musician, and I do sound design, and people ask me, so, you know, what type of music do you create? And it's more like the transcendental, like, hyperdimensional, and even getting into, like, I don't know, creating this energy with sound and frequency. So what really inspired you guys, and what made you feel that, you know, first, like, I don't know, that conscious awakening was, like, you know, sound is deeper than just hearing it, listening, and that, you know, connectivity, you know, on the dance floor, and also, you know, just kind of opening up your mind's eye with the frequencies. I mean, what was your experience with that, and what kind of music really kind of made you more aware of that?
Well, it's really interesting, the point that you bring up. What you're talking about is what a lot of researchers of this scene have called the conversion experience. I mean, of course, that's a traditional, you know, religious studies term of, you know, kind of somebody's first immersion, somebody's first awakening into a particular, you know, religion, into a particular form of spirituality. For the electronic music culture, you know, there's experience where people get the music, where you finally get the music, where something finally clicks, and just everybody that I've interviewed, and all the, you know, all the interviews I've read and research that I've read, this is something that's you know, congruent throughout the entire scene, is everybody has this kind of memory of an awakening experience to the music itself. It's where they begin to get the music for the first time. They begin to hear the music differently. Their relationship to, you know, to sound and to dance and to the music itself fundamentally changes in this experience. And, you know, of course, for me, I didn't come into this project with that experience. I got that experience after I'd, you know, begun the study. And it was actually my first, the first event that I went to, the study was a Shambhala Music Festival, and I heard psychedelic trance music for the first time.
So
you're asking about the genre of music. You know, I had never, you know, my understand, you know, I hadn't really heard that much electronic music before I started this project to begin with. So to hear that music, to hear psychedelic trance music on, you know, on a sound system for the first time, you know, just as the sun was coming up over the mountains after 3 days of partying, was, you know, that was an experience.
Oh, yeah.
that was you know, an incredible experience. you know,
oh,
it was,
yeah,
definitely like what?
It's definitely like an out-of-body experience, like, you know, when you're there on and on to the break of dawn, and you're there in the middle of the woods or in the mountains, and you're watching, you know, that sunrise DJ is bringing it in, and this energy and just that pulse and that vibration. And it's just like, you know, people are on this collective consciousness where they're all like dancing together, or they're, you know, either in a deep meditative state, you know, even at dance parties. And so there has to be some kind of connection with even how this music started with Goa, India. If you're talking about Goa and psytrance, you know, so, and if you look at the Hindus even, and the meditation practices with going into deeper states of consciousness, you know, this all makes sense with certain frequencies and vibrations, you know, and we're definitely there, and I think we're at a pinnacle right now of this with this conscious awareness is coming in with the movement and dance and frequencies and tonality and just, you know, how all this connects and is even healing. And so,
Julian, how did you first get involved with the Electronic Awakening Project? Like, when did you first jump on board and help produce it and get it out there to the masses?
I'm glad that you asked about the project and not my Electronic Awakening, because I don't think we have enough time on the show for this. You know, I go old school. I go my Genesis started back in Miami in the 80s with electronic music, so that's a whole other story. As far as the project, Andrew, he has been working on it for about 5 years. I've come on board about 2 or 3 years, and I started as a music director, bringing on some really powerful music to the project. And then as my involvement grew, now I'm an executive producer, and I'm really the one that's, you know, turning all the knobs here to make sure this thing goes where it needs to go. And the beautiful part about it is the cast that we have. And I know you know it, but I want to mention it to your listeners. I mean, we have Terrence McKenna, Daniel Pinchbeck, Alex Gray. And to see Alex Gray in a film about electronic music, just that alone, you know, fills my heart. We have Starhawk, we have Goa Gill, and just that cast is so symbolic of our times, and the music is very powerful, and we cover every genre. I mean, we have Shpongo, The Crystal Method, Random Rock,
yeah.
Bird of Prey. I mean, it is amazing. Just those two things alone, and then on top of that, what we added was footage from Burning Man, from Earth Dance, from Love Fest, from Moon Tribe, from Wicked, from Shambhala, and then from Boom in Portugal. So basically,
oh my God,
the film,
Boom.
Yeah, the film is a prism for you to look and see all of the different reflections of ourselves in all the festivals around the world.
And you had a screening at Burning Man, I heard, and everyone watched the entire thing.
That is a feat, and we actually had 4 screenings at Burning Man, and they were all very successful. And the one at Sacred Spaces was amazing. We had a huge dome, and everybody stayed for the whole thing. And exactly, for you to stand still at Burning Man for an hour and 20 minutes, that's amazing.
Woo.
And we were at Mini Moo and Playa School and Red Lightning, and they booked all of them, just gave us props. And at one of the screenings, somebody shouted right after the movie, "Let's dance!" And everybody just got up and went off. And just to have that love and that appreciation of it was amazing to feel and experience.
Well, do you guys think that maybe, you know, it is this tribal energy? Because I book a lot of festivals and events, and you know, it's just like when people gather, especially in an outdoor area, you know, versus indoors, there is that unlimited dance floor. You're underneath the stars, you know what I'm saying? And that energy just resonates everywhere. And there's a
right.
real sense of community. There is definitely a real sense of community. And that community is definitely connected to the heart. And so when people go out there and they're dancing, and, you know, there's color, there's light, there's sound, there's music, there's all these things that just really, like, create that space and that synergy. So, I mean, it's like, I bet you find it be a little bit different in the indoor spaces versus the outdoor spaces. Like, the connectivity with nature, you know, versus, like, just being in a venue or a club. It is, you have to admit, you know, that it is a lot different than having, you know, an experience indoors and then outdoors.
Oh, for
and
sure.
Guys,
we dedicate a whole chapter of the film speaking about the outdoor festivals and how it evolved from the warehouse parties. And we not only talk about the stars above us, but also the earth under our feet. And we have footage of people speaking about that connection to the earth and that connection to the community that you just spoke about. So it's very powerful. The screenings are just emerging everywhere. We have screenings in Australia. We have a few in Australia coming up in big festivals. We just confirmed South Africa. We have one in Miami where I will be at December 21st at a movie theater. And the one in Salt Lake is going to have an after party. Then we have Whistler. And if you wanted to set up your own screening in your city, just go to electronicawakening.com and try to get in contact with me or Andrew, and we'll facilitate any screenings in many cities. We have other countries trying to get screenings, and I think that's a powerful way, before we release the DVD, to really create a sense of community. Because if you're watching the film with, you know, 50 of your friends or 100 people that are lovers of electronic music, it's a whole different experience than if you just purchase a DVD or you got a stream of it, right? So I would like to invite everyone to really become empowered to try to have these screenings in their cities, so then you can also share that experience with everybody else that, you know, is around you. I think that's very important.
And guys, where can we get some more information? Give out the website information where listeners can, you know, get more information about the movie itself.
Right. The hub of it all is electronicawakening.com, one word. And there we have our Facebook page link, and the whole community is just expanding, and we have people really reaching out from all parts of the world. And then it's got the screening information. It's got our cast. It's got the music. Eventually, I'm going to put links of all the production and mixes, and you can purchase the DVD. You can set up a screening. I mean, electronicawakening.com is really the hub for where it all starts for us.
Awesome.
Nice. Well, thank you both for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks for having us. Yeah, and I wanted to give a shout out to Jonathan from Evolver, because he's really stepped up and he helped us out. So I wanted to send him some love. And you guys, thank you very much for allowing us to be a part of this.
Absolutely.
We think Evolver
he's
is amazing, and we just want to give you props.
We're looking on, you know, spreading the love. And you guys party in Asheville? There's definitely stuff going on. I'll pass you word. I mean, there.
Oh yeah. My boy Cree's down there. I know Cree, and I'm part of the Psytrance scene over here in San Francisco. So if you guys ever want to come up, you know, doors open for you.
Samadhi. Awesome.
Yeah, of course.
All right,
cool. Thank you both for joining us, and we're going to listen to a little bit more DJ Skamar, and we'll be right back with Jonathan Phillips. And that was some more music from DJ Michael Skamar. And thank you both again for coming on the show, for Julian and Andrew. That was awesome. Check out electronicawakening.com. And now joining us on the show, we have a very special guest, the co-founder of Evolver.net, Jonathan Phillips. Are you with us?
By the way, it's Jonathan Philott Phillips, just for folks out there.
Got it, the full name, Jonathan Tellett Phillips. And thank you so much for taking the time for joining us on the show. And Wendy, why don't you go into talking about Jonathan and his new book that's out.
Oh, man, Jonathan, I have to ask you, what about the Electric Jesus? This is your healing journey of the contemporary Gnostic. So what inspired you to actually write the book?
Well, what inspired me to write it was, there's a cultural war about Jesus going on right now, and I feel like what we've been told is just completely wrong, lame, boring, and bad translations, and very dogmatic and hierarchical structures. So a lot of it's about reclaiming the ancient, mystical, more shamanistic roots of Christianity, and it's all right there. You don't have to look very far. It seems that they were mystery schools of initiation involving rites of baptism, anointing, death, and resurrection, and the mystery schools across the Mediterranean were the same way. And I think something that's a little bit unique about my book, and I haven't found this in other places, is how they were specifically using energy for the transformation of consciousness, just like Buddhists and shamans and Sufis do today, and yogis. Christians would have called it pneuma, spiritual breath, spiritual energy. And there's all these scenes of Jesus healing with pneuma, with power, with energy. And if you read the Bible, it almost sounds like he's a hands-on energy healer, like a Reiki master. And Reiki people are crazy about Jesus. So that was one component. And the other one was just to track an initiatory process that happened in 2004 when I was a countercultural media activist, completely skeptical, materialistic, rational. I thought politics alone could save our world. And when Bush won the second election, I just fell into a dark night of the soul. And I was looking at the planetary situation, especially the fact that we are in the sixth great extinction right now, with three species dying every hour. And it just seemed like the problems were too big for whether it was a Democrat, Kerry, or Bush in office. And I felt like we needed a Galileo-type paradigm shift, something that just completely altered the way we looked at the universe and each other. And to my surprise, on my 30th birthday, that Chinese curse, may you wish what you get, may you get what you wish for. That's exactly what happened to me. I took some MDMA, got on the dance floor. This is a very old practice of taking mind-altering substances and dancing in community. I got out of my head and into my heart, connected with the energy of the room, and then synchronicity after synchronicity after synchronicity lined up. And by the end of that night, poof, the lights turned on, and I just started seeing energy fields around people, around things, and my worldview completely turned on its head. Because for one, there was now kind of this spiritual reality to contend with, but I also saw that we were all these interkinetic, energetic beings. And I thought I was crazy, except for about three things. One, I could show my friends how to see the energy fields. Pretty easy to do. Two, science was saying that this is what the universe is made of, is energy. And three, there was all these religious figures across the world. You see them with halos or with auras of energy. And so it seemed like they knew about it. And that's what got me so interested in pursuing, the Christian tradition, was seeing that they knew that too.
And you also uncover one of the secrets in your book, and that's the electric meanings behind the biblical symbols, and how important that is to just the psyche of people in today's world, and what that does to people.
I'm glad you mentioned this. This is one of my favorite parts of the book. It's a little bit like a spiritual or mystical detective novel. There's a puzzle that's going on here. And each chapter through the book, there's another puzzle piece that I think I figure out on some level. You know, and this is all kind of vague in a way, too, because spiritual stuff isn't... I find, actually, it's like, at first you're taught it's literal, then you learn it's spiritive, and then it becomes literal again as you go deeper, but it's literal on a more complex level. And some of these energetic secrets are like the tree of life, which the body's tree, the circuitry through the whole body. It looks like a tree. If you look at our nerve bundles, it looks like a tree. If you look at the energy meridians, they look like trees and branches. And there's this idea that there's a world tree of life as well. And I mean, if you just look at the aura borealis, it looks like the earth does have an aura of some sort. And on the world tree, you'll find the serpent and the dove. And I track energetically what these mean. And you don't just find this in the Bible. And there's tons of Christian, like Synoptic Gospels and Gnostic Gospels alike, that will talk about the tree of life, the serpent, and the dove. But you will find trees of life, serpents, and doves across the entire planet, in cultures across the planet. And probably the most famous one is the symbol of the caduceus. And for me, what I think it's actually, it's not just symbolic. They are hinting at the energetic flow of the body. It's scientific, it's spiritual, it's mystical, it's cultural, it's all of these things. And it's hinting at an extremely profound transformation of consciousness that can occur, and possibly a global transformation of consciousness. And one of the things I postulate in the book is that we are moving into the heart center, which is kind of this sacred marriage. It's the bridal chamber of the Gnostics. And it's that interlocking, the six-pointed star, the Star of David. So it's the interlocking triangles where spirit and matter finally meet. And it's the integrators of all opposites. And so there's this idea that we're moving up the tree of life from the third chakra, which yogis, a lot of yogis say civilization itself is a third chakra human adventure. Tribal culture would have been a second chakra, more sexual, more connected with nature, feminine, abundant, creative. Third chakra is very masculine. It's forceful. It's willpower. It's achievement. It's linear time. It's ego. And I think with 10,000 years of civilization, we've almost hit as far as we can go with that. We've made incredible leaps, but we're also, you know, burning the planet up right now. And those fires may be pushing us into this heart-centered consciousness on the world tree, where it opens up the gateway for spirit to come into matter and all sorts of new potentialities of healing to come into play. And you're already seeing that with Reiki, acupuncture, Rolfing, like all these new healing modalities. Ayahuasca energy is used for that transformation to occur. And right now, if you look at the planetary situation, I think the indicators are even worse than we think. Environmental, economic, all of that. And we really need to like be mediums and channel in a miracle. And that's exactly what I think this work is about. It's a miracle of bringing in the divine.
Absolutely.
Jump back to your book, because you were talking about, you know, the healing journey of the contemporary Gnostics. And I started thinking about Christ and Christ consciousness. And, you know, there's so many mysteries, biblical mysteries, that, you know, equate to more of a spiritual sense, more of a conscious sense, especially with healing and, like you said, modalities. And there's also so many mysteries, like the Nephilim. You know, who were the Nephilim? And they were a giant species. And also, if you look in the beginning of the Bible, and even Genesis, with Adam and Eve, and Eve being beguiled by the serpent, there's the serpent again, and the tree of knowledge, and the tree of good and evil, the tree of life, and how all this is connected. We're literally, you know, I have heard a lot of people that do studies with the ancient Torah, and even ancient Aramaic, of how this is connected to Eve literally laying down with the serpent, who was also called a reptilian species. And so, I haven't really jumped into the book full force. I'm definitely going to be reading that. But do you find that all these mysteries in the Bible, they have a significance, like, in the meaning? And also interpretation of something else, you know, because a lot of, I'm not going to say particularly Christians, but people that read the Bible, you know, for knowledge, or even people that do read the Bible for faith, you know, that there's all these hidden codes. And,
I think so. I mean, the Old Testament is written in such a complex code that I can't say I understand it. You have rabbis studying that for years. The Gnostics would have been more interested in the New Testament. And I think their take on the Old Testament is interesting. I just read the Old Testament all the way through for the first time, to be honest, and was really depressed and really took on a Gnostic point of view, which is they see the Old Testament God, they would call it a demiurge. It's a false god that was kind of created through this act by the goddess Sophia. She acted without, it's a little bit complicated, but this creator god then creates the material world, and it's like an accident, and it's like a Frankenstein kind of world almost. But the demiurge is not a nice god. He's not the real god. He's a jealous god. He's an angry god. He's a violent god. He's an unforgiving god, and he's a god that's living off good and bad, evil, shame, and blame. And the Gnostics all knew this to be like illusion and lies. And they knew this because they had experienced, they had created a series of initiatory processes and practices to see beyond those illusions into what they would have called the divine parent that created the rest of humanity, or the rest of the cosmos. And Christ consciousness, the Christos, is something we could all connect into, and that was a divine realm called in the Pleroma that is connected to the more not illusion, the immeasurable eternal light that they kept talking about. And they talk about this light all the time, and in my book I actually have these experiences where my heart opens. I suddenly see this lattice work of energy and how we're all connected, and it reminded me of this Gospel of Thomas line of how heaven is spread across the earth, only people don't see it. But Wendy, I gotta say, when I hear people talk about the Nephilim and reptilians, the thing I think of is the more esoteric idea, and you often, like John Lamb Lash, they'll talk about Gnostics and how they may have known of some extraterrestrial interference on the planet. And to my surprise, I actually do get into this in my book, because when I started seeing energy fields, it was because these guides came to me, and the guides stick with me throughout my book. And the first time they came to me, they gave me the word alien. And step by step by step throughout this book, I started having more and more galactic contact. And it wasn't until the final edit of the book that I finally, and Daniel Pinchbeck said, you need to be honest and put everything in there, that I came out of the galactic closet. And, you know, I see people shapeshift into aliens. I run into all sorts of people that are having these experiences out there. I think there may be a galactic awakening to our cosmic brothers and sisters that's happening here. And it might be the energy of spiritual avatars like Jesus or Buddha or Lao Tzu. They were the first kind of special forces unit that came to the planet to bring this light, to open us up so that we could then evolve into this new form of consciousness and perhaps connect with other civilizations that have already gone through an ascension process. There's a mouthful, right?
Yeah, that one up it does. You've actually had some of these you've had some of these extraterrestrial encounters at the Burning Man Festival that you talk about in the book, right?
Yeah. The title of that chapter is called The First Extraterrestrial City on Earth, and I happen to believe that might be the case, because Burning Man is set up on a whole different set of rules, and the rules are radical self-expression, play. It's not a competitive model. It's a cooperative model of existence where you basically create the dreams that you want to live. It's quite an incredible city. And it's this amazing alchemy of art, science, technology, and mysticism. And that's the thing I'm getting, is that the aliens aren't just up there. That if you believe in things like reincarnation and stuff, they could be incarnating on this planet and they're attracted to places like this. So if you end up at Burning Man, they say, welcome home. It might be to a different home than you're thinking, because it's that place where suddenly you're allowed to be the freak that you are. Creativity is explored. And, I mean, I think if you look at these crop circles, you see it's not this 1950s tinfoil spaceship landing on the White House lawn. It's where creativity and mysticism and art and mathematics and science, they blend together into this beautiful amalgamy. And that's kind of one of the theories throughout this book, is that we really don't understand how rich and complex and potentially wonderful this cosmic drama of dealing with extraterrestrials could be. And that we may be them. But one of my arguments is, just like we're Scottish, Jewish, Irish, Kenyan, whatever, with these mutts, we may be mutts that have had experiences in many different worlds. And the thing is, the universe is just so vast that I think that possibility is definitely, you know, a potential out there.
I agree.
Yeah, definitely.
And the thing that makes me believe it is I've seen a lot of people shapeshift into aliens in my life, like, and I've had them draw pictures of themselves, like, a year later. Oh, you saw me shapeshift here? Let me draw you a picture of it. And it was exactly what I saw, you know? And that's the thing of gnosis, is no one can tell you it. You just got to experience it yourself. So this book isn't about trying to convince anyone of anything. It's just, you know, sharing my Gnostic experiences, and, you know, maybe people can relate with it.
And we have to go in like about 5 minutes, but really quickly, like, and I'm sure one of you has something else to say, but tell us about how you got involved with Evolver and how you, you know, co-created that manifestation, which has evolved into an amazing network of conscious beings.
Thank you for asking that question. So I, we're going through my radical activism through this mystical initiation. When I finished it, I wanted to get back into activism, but my whole perspective had changed. Instead of fighting systems, I wanted to create new systems. I wanted to help build the culture. Instead of trying to do media stunts, I wanted to create media that would get our stories out there. And so at that time, I had met Daniel Pinchbeck, author of 2012, Ken Jordan and Michael Robinson, and the four of us started up Reality Sandwich, this web magazine. And we saw it as a lighthouse. We put it up there, and we're just like, who's out there? We want to see you. And there were people that got where open source technology meets shamanism, meets visionary art, meets permaculture. And some people didn't get it, but there were tons of people that did. And then what we noticed is people wanted to connect in physical space. They didn't want this just to be online, that they wanted to connect with their communities and start creating, like, a new consciousness culture there, and it's amazing how it's flourished. The first one happened in Atlanta with three people. Now we have 40 regional groups that host film screenings. We have book tours where authors go on tour. They've got all sorts of projects, consciousness parties. And for me, what it is, it's a mass, because I'm an energy healer, I'm a bioenergetic healer, that's my passion. I see this as a mass sacred geometrical energy healing project, because it's taking the competitive model where we're this house divided, fighting for energy, fighting for resources, fighting for land, money, and we're connecting the dots. We're changing that system to a cooperative one where the energy gets to flow in these like sacred circles, this distributed interconnected network, and it's just much smoother, and it creates a huge amount of abundance, local resilience, a lot of creativity. And the society that we're in doesn't value your gifts. The societies that we're working on, it's the exact opposite. Your gift is this huge energetic force, this huge energetic offering to your community that can be shared. And so those are the Evolver Sports. And if anyone's interested in setting one up, you can just go on evolver.net and shoot us an email and we'll get you started. It's that simple. The people that have never organized before have ended up starting entire amazing communities. It's incredible, too. Like, places like Baltimore, it's just like, you know, it was dead with this evolutionary culture, and now Evolver Baltimore has just sprung up and even helped shepherd in a local currency there.
Wow, that's amazing.
It's a very supportive network, too. If you're part of the network, you can really work in conjunction with other people that are involved with the Spore groups. and share ideas.
Oh, my. It's the most amazing group of people I've ever met. And every time I go to a sport, I feel like I get a healing. And the great thing, too, guys, is you have a place to crash anywhere you go, as long as there's a sport there.
Nice.
Awesome.
And real quick before we go, what are some future things coming up for Evolver? I know you got some festivals and stuff that you guys are planning, some events coming up. What are some of the upcoming stuff the listeners can go to and see how Evolver gets down?
Right. We have a lot of local events, so get on our newsletter and you can find out what's going on there. Big Evolver events, we have two medicine healing plant medicine retreats in like Costa Rica, South America with Daniel Pinchbeck and the Kogi. So that should be really powerful. Also, I mean, for me, the big news is on Tuesday in New York City, we're going to have my Electric Jesus book launch with Alex Gray and Reverend Billy. So that should be a lot of fun.
Nice.
And then I'll be doing a West Coast tour in January and February, so you can catch me, you know, all throughout the West Coast. So those are the big ones I can think of. I do want to say to you guys, thank you so much for doing Evolver Planet Radio. I just love the energy and how you are, like, informing people of just so many awesome things that are going out there. I just think it's really important work you're doing. So thanks.
Oh, that's awesome. Thanks for laying the train track down.
Can I say one last thing, Jonah, and Wendy, to listeners out there? If you buy an online copy of The Electric Jesus, since I can't sign it, if you just shoot me an email at jonathan@evolver.net as a gift and a thank you, and I know you're going to love the book. I think it's just a really great book. But send me an email and I'll send you a free Kundalini activation MP3 as a little thank you.
Wow. Awesome.
Right, there you have it. On 11-11-11. at 1:11 a.m.
You guys crack me up.
Yeah, thank you so much for coming on the show and taking the time, Jonathan, as always.
All right, thanks,
yeah,
guys.
Thank
Take
you,
care.
Jonathan. Namaste.
What's that?
Absolutely. And we'll speak to you real soon, I'm sure.
Okay. Talk to you guys later.
All right. Have a good night. And before we go, Wendy, why don't you give out Evolver and Reality Sandwiches information for everyone?
Yeah, if you guys want to check out what's going on with Evolver, you can always check out the website at evolver.net. And I think it's realitysandwich.com, but it may be realitysandwich.net. I don't have it in front of my eyeballs right now. But it is definitely a network you can get plugged in for the collective consciousness and really experience this community. It's a wonderful community to be a part of if you're trying to resonate change and you want to build that in your own area.
That's what's up. And with that, Evolver Planet Radio, we will be back next Friday, same time, same place. And we're going to finish off with a little Michael Scalar.